Hello and welcome to RadioWithFireEyes.com. My name is Peter Matthews. I'm an assistant editor here at the website. Today we'll be going into our third part in a four-part series about going for the green, getting the money for the grants. Today, Brian Vickers will actually have a roundtable with three fire department members who have actually been very successful in receiving grants. One would be Beth Ann Nesselt from the Montgomery County, Maryland Department of Fire and Rescue Services. She received the largest ever fire prevention grant for $750,000. We will also have Rich Liberti, Chief from Amsterdam, New York Fire Department, and Chief Carl Helm from Haley, Idaho. So that will be going on in just a second here. Before we get on with that, I'd just like to say also, please take a listen to the fourth part, the final part of this podcast, where we will have interviews with Congressman Kurt Weldon, who is the main backer in the Congressional Fire Services Institute, as well as Mike DeWine, a senator from Ohio, and Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer, all of the big parties and big names involved in the Fire Act, Assistance to Firefighter Grants programs.
Today's presentation is proudly sponsored by PlumeVent. PlumeVent is a driving force in advancing firefighter health and safety. PlumeVent's diesel exhaust removal system features 100% source capture to eliminate all diesel exhaust from the firehouse, as stated in the NFPA 1500 standard. PlumeVent diesel exhaust removal systems meet the requirements stated in the Fire Act Grant Program Guidance for Modifications to Facilities. Please visit PlumeVent.com. That's PlumeVent.com, or click on the link on this page to learn more about their exhaust removal systems. Brian, let's get started.
We're joined here today on this third podcast in the series. And as I mentioned in podcast number two, there's not too many success stories out there with fire departments and the grant program. We either tend to hear bad news or no news. So we're joined here today by three people that have seen some success in the program. We'll introduce each one and let them tell us a little bit about where they are and how they're doing. First, we've got Assistant Chief Carl Helm from the Haley Fire Department in Idaho. Chief, thanks for joining us here today.
Good morning, or at least it's morning my time.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your fire department and where you guys are at.
Well, we run three full-time people and 22 volunteers. It's a 25-person staff. And that's fairly common in our part of the world to do a combination department like that. We run out of one station with three primary apparatus and a number of support apparatus. We cover a town of about 8,000 people. That's Haley, and we're sort of a bedroom community for the Sun Valley Ski Resort. Our primary responses are structural fires and EMS is our primary duties. We do have hazmat and, of course, rescue capabilities. There's a lot of vertical and backcountry rescue that is involved in this area. It's a recreation hub and a destination resort, and as such, we also have an airport that we cover as part of our responsibilities. We operate off a budget of about $400,000 a year. That pays for, as I said, about three full-time personnel with one administrative assistant and then 22 volunteers. We are lucky in that our volunteers tend to have a more than national average retention rate, and we have people who've been on the department for, 15, 18 years who are very skilled at what they do.
Excellent. And we also have with us Chief Rich Liberti of Amsterdam Fire Department, New York. Welcome, Chief.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
So tell us a little bit about your operations.
The city of Amsterdam is basically an old upstate New York mill town. It's right on the Mohawk River. Currently, the population is 18 and change, maybe 18,300, down from a high in the 50s of around 33,000. Currently, we have 33 members. It's an all-career department. It's been a career department for about 100 years. We run two engines, a rescue engine and two aerials, a couple support pieces. And like everybody, we provide a lot of emergency medical services. About half of the department right now are paramedics. We run a reasonable amount of calls in a year, maybe 2,500. The population is getting older, and we have a lot of older structures in the city. But it's fairly typical of a lot of the old mill towns in the Northeast.
Very good. And we also have Beth Ann Nesselt, who's the grants coordinator.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon. I am currently a program manager with Montgomery County Fire Rescue. We are a combination department with approximately 1,100 volunteers and 1,000 career personnel. A little bit of history about Montgomery County. Our population is quickly approaching 1 million residents. We're also a aging population where we expect to increase our senior population about 10% over the next 5 years. We have 40 work sites, 19 local fire and rescue departments, and we protect a population, again, approaching 1 million, spread across 497 square miles. And on average, we respond to about 105,000 emergency incidents each year.
You guys are definitely busy.
Well, the city of Amsterdam is also in Montgomery County, and obviously there's a big difference between yours and mine.
Many Montgomerys, many departments.
Mm-hmm.
So Chief Liberti, what has been your experience with the grant program? Have you guys applied every year?
Yes, we have. We've applied every year, and we've gotten a number of Dear John letters, but we have been successful twice.
Okay.
I'm glad to say.
What have you guys gone for in each success?
The two success stories, basically we replaced all of our SCBA and spare bottles and also a cascade system. It was well over $100,000, something that we would have had difficulty doing on our regular budget. Our current budget is about $1.7 million. That does not include retirement or health insurance, which is another considerable chunk of money. The city's having a lot of financial difficulties, and we would have had to piecemeal things just to get the air packs. Normally what we've done in the past is when we buy a new piece of apparatus, we load it up with air packs. And we got to the point where a lot of them were just going to be going out of service, and it would have been much more difficult to replace them. And it was our best bet at that particular time for that grant. We were successful.
Did you try before you were successful?
Yes, we did.
And
we were not successful, and I have a feeling that's probably the way the grant was written.
Notice anything different between the two versions that went in?
Yeah, I talked to a couple other chiefs in New York State who had been successful and looked at their grants, and I guess we begged and pleaded a lot more and made a case, a lot more demographics, not so much the history of the city, but relating it to other parts of the state, and that seemed to make the trigger. It seemed to do it.
Yeah. Now, how about your other award? What did you guys go for?
The other one was the vehicle exhaust system. Looking at what we needed, this is something I've been the chief for just over 10 years, and two prior chiefs before my tenure had tried to get an exhaust system, and it was just too expensive. The city wouldn't go for it. But based on the fact that it's a career department, and it's also part of the public safety building, so it's also shared with the police department and court offices, we thought that we would have a good opportunity because not only was it firefighters that were affected 24/7, but police officers, court officers, and the public. It was a considerable grant. Well, there was a lot of help from Plymouth with the actual wording of the grant. But I think that pretty much sealed it, the fact that the building was occupied 24/7, 365.
Yeah, definitely. Chief Helm, how about you guys?
We've applied every year and been successful twice. The first time we were successful was for a mass casualty incident trailer, as I said, or a cache, if you will. As I said, the city of Haley is home to the second busiest airport in Idaho. Now, I realize that's a relative measure, but the second busiest airport in Idaho, and there really isn't a mass casualty response capability here, and we were looking for that ability to be able to serve both any kind of weapons of mass destruction event or any kind of aerial, you know, aircraft disaster that quickly outstripped our facilities. The second grant we applied for, like Chief Lombardi's department, we were successful in getting a grant for SCBAs and bunker gear and a new fill station for a new cascade system.
Now, how did the SCBAs go in? I mean, what was your plan of attack on those? Were you placing old units, or were you just not interoperable with your mutual aid departments?
Both. And I think this is something that the people who are evaluating grants are looking for. That I think one of the keys to obtaining a successful grant is to talk about both firefighter safety and interoperability. And that interoperability with other local departments was key. We had other local departments had received new grants for SCBAs and. While we all use the same brand of SCBA, we had the fact that those departments had had begun operation with those new SCBAs had made the ones that we were using no longer operable with theirs, and we were able to use that as one of the points. You know, the Haley Fire Department acts as a written backup team for other auto aid and mutual aid incidents, and that interoperability I think is key to the success of any grant. And we were replacing simply units that were no longer NFPA compliant, and I think that NFPA compliance is a major point also.
Well, it definitely is. Beth Ann, you're the coordinator for the entire county. Certainly you've had a lot come across your desk and a lot you've worked on. What have you seen as the big impact of some of the grants that have gone to your area?
Well, you know what, actually, just for purposes of clarification, I've coordinated the fire prevention grants. So I can speak fairly eloquently to those. And Montgomery County did apply in 2003. We were awarded in March of 2004. The grant was active in 2004, which in essence meant that we couldn't compete in 2004, and we did apply in 2005. So our fingers and toes are still crossed on that.
Yeah. What did you guys go for in the fire prevention?
You know what we did? To us, the Montgomery County Fire Act grant funding means lives saved. In Montgomery County, our grant proposed an integrated and comprehensive approach to creating a community culture of preparedness and safety. Funding from the grant truly served to integrate four significant programs to reinforce a consistent life safety message, to build knowledge and capability in the community, and to really serve to leverage resources to sustain this culture and preparedness of safety. The cost of accomplishing this independently without this source, this important funding, would have been prohibitive. Essentially, prevention and education are deeply rooted in Chief Carr's mission for Montgomery County Fire Rescue, and the award was truly critical to meeting the ambitious USFA goals.
Now, with the education program, I mean, what kind of programs did you establish with the public? I mean, are you guys going into schools as well, or did it expand well beyond that?
You know, absolutely. Starting with our seniors, since 2005 in Montgomery County, over 50% of our fire deaths have been to folks 65 and older. Every one of our fire fatalities last year and so far this year have been to citizens over the age of 65. So we've got an incredibly vibrant program to reach out to our citizens over 65. Again, over the next 25 years, the senior population in Montgomery County will increase 49%, again, roughly that 10% every 5 years. We're also in the schools. We're doing Risk Watch in each of our schools. We're the 17th largest school system in the country. So again, great opportunity to get that message to the pint-sized safety ambassadors. And in Montgomery County, we feel to touch a child with safety information is really to touch the family and reach the family.
Oh, excellent. Chief Liberti, up in your region, what have you been hearing from other departments? I mean, certainly you've had some success. I mean, and you've talked to other chiefs when they had success and then help you out. What's going on in the upstate New York region? I mean, are people still applying and still trying and still having the awards come through and make a big difference?
I was at a meeting just last week with a number of the career chiefs throughout the state, and everyone there has always applied. Many of them have gotten awards, a number of them a couple times. As a matter of fact, when we received our Cascade, the Cascade system that we were using was from the early 80s. It was serviceable, but just barely. And we were going to offer it to one of the local volunteer fire departments. It's relatively small. And before we were able to even make the connection with them, they had gotten a grant for a Cascade system. There are a couple municipalities not far from here. They've both received at least one grant. I think one of them two in the last couple of years. The next closest larger city is the city of Schenectady. They've received grants a couple times also. And we had talked about, Chief Helmut talked about interoperability, and there are two cities relatively close to here, about 8-10 miles apart, and they basically blend into one continuous city. Both rather small, maybe total population of 25,000. And I believe that the two chiefs there are actually going to try to combine into one grant to buy an aerial ladder that would be shared by both municipalities.
Interoperability and working in regions certainly does give you an advantage and certainly spread out the cost benefit and the region's effective. Chief Helm, same question out in your end. You know, as we were talking a little bit earlier before we started recording, you know, we've got a larger area, and there's some counties that, I mean, are larger than some states here back in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the big problems affecting, you know, departments in your area, and how has that affected their grant applications and their awards?
Well, I think I don't want to use the term more progressive, but those departments that have the funding available for full-time staff and in order to be, you know, sort of aggressive about their grant applications, tend to be successful with them. You know, comes to mind as two other resort communities in our area here that have also been successful once or a multiple number of times in their grant applications. I think the big challenge for rural areas, especially in the western United States with these larger rural areas, is that they are full volunteer departments, and they don't really have the capacity or the manpower dedicated to applying for these kinds of grants. And what ends up happening is when, for instance, our department receives SCBAs, we might turn around and give or sell it at a high rate of discount those SCBAs to another one of those volunteer departments. While that does provide an upgrade to them for their equipment, it still doesn't bring them up to current NFPA standards or to that interoperability that we're looking for. And we do have mutual aid and auto aid agreements with some of these smaller rural departments.
Bethann, fire prevention hasn't been, I mean, they finally pulled out in 2004 and made it its own application period, so it made it a lot easier for us, but it seems to be down. There aren't that many applications that go in for it, and not a lot of people interested in it. I mean, what, you know, how do you see, you know, your fire department's certainly been progressive with the education and trying to work, you know, in the civilian safety end of it, because, I mean, for the most part, the public doesn't know too much about the fire service or the risks, and, you know, most people don't even know where the fire department is until they dial 911. What, you know, for some other departments that seem to have that apathy in their area, what can you suggest to them to try and do with a fire prevention application to beef up the safety in their area? Because, I mean, the safer the public is, the safer the fire departments are.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't say it better. Again, our message kind of coming out of the gate through Chief Carr is to do everything that we can. Our goal is to prevent that 911 phone call, and that is effectively achieved through education. We've done a number of different scenarios. We have, through the grant, trained 30 Montgomery County Fire Rescue personnel and certified them in NFPA Public Life Safety Educator. And then they then go back to the station, and it becomes a train the trainer. So that ripple effect of education and the importance of it out there in every corner of Montgomery County. We've implemented a CERT program, which then takes the business sector as well as the citizen sector and have them trained completely and thoroughly to be able to support us in the event of an emergency, whether it's weather, whether it's a natural disaster type of thing. So kind of thinking outside the box, one of our most successful or one of the highlights was actually conducting a survival Spanish class for first responders. In the state of Maryland, Montgomery County is the most diverse community in the state. So oftentimes, just that ability to communicate through another language with some of our citizens and those in obviously dire needs is critically important. So we were able to implement that, and that, again, has helped bridge this education message.
That's definitely excellent. Now, I'll pose this to all three of you, and we'll just, since we left off with Bethann, looking forward in the grant program, certainly we're still in the application period here for AFG, and looking forward, I mean, even strategically, you know, 5 years down the road or so, what else can we, you know, as a fire service, help do to either improve these grant programs or improve the funding? I mean, we've been getting cut down the past couple of years. I mean, certainly all three of you have had awards in your area, and certainly, you know, they weren't the golden arrows that fixed every part of your operations. What else can we, you know, pass on to the legislators and say, you know, certainly we've had some success and we've fixed some problems, but we're not there yet. What would you like to communicate to them that, you know, is still needed? Bethann, why don't we start with you?
You know, I guess my strongest recommendation would be a way to market or channel this information to increase awareness of successful grant stories. There's so much to learn whether you're on the East Coast, whether you're on the West Coast, or in between about what's happening. Elements, creative ways to, again, reach these high-risk communities, because to reach them, you're going to start to really penetrate what's most important, and that is that educational tool.
Chief Liberti, how about you? What can we do, you know, what can we pass on looking down the road here in these grant programs? I mean, is everything fixed? Do we not need the money anymore? I mean, what needs to go forward from here?
Well, my guess, in this part of the country, we'll never, ever not need the money. certainly, we're thrilled that we've been able to successfully compete on the grants, and I'm disappointed that they have lowered the amount of grant funding that's available. I'm pleased to see that they have some additional, they're continuing the staffing grant. That's something that we were looking for, especially in the communities in our area where almost every fire department has lost personnel over the last 20 or 25 years. We've lost population, but we haven't lost the buildings that are still there. I think that the congressmen and senators should come to their local fire departments or talk to people in their states and see what we need and talk to individuals. You know, what can we do better? Are things better than they were 5 years ago? Are they getting worse? Can you handle this? Can you handle that? I think there's a big misconception nationwide that the fire service can do almost everything that comes at us. And I think part of the problem is the fire service, because normally we take on those additional duties, and a lot of times we don't have the support to do it. There are certain things that I think that should be covered more by the state and the federal government.
Excellent. And Chief Helm, how about yourself?
I'd kind of like to echo those comments. I think nationally what we've seen is the priorities for fire departments and the mission for fire departments expanding almost exponentially. Used to be almost, you know, the structure fire guys that would or those kinds of things. Now we're looking at weapons of mass destruction, hazardous materials, interoperability, mass casualty situations. There's a lot of ways that our mission is expanding that hasn't necessarily been truly compensated or anticipated as part of the funding that fire departments receive. I think encouraging our legislators to understand that they're asking us to be, you know, frontline responders and first responders to a lot of different types of scenarios will help them understand that we need the funding for those additional materials, that additional training, that additional preparation, and to echo what Beth Ann had said, to educate the public on how to respond to those sorts of things. I think, you know, even fire departments are going to be looked at as initial responders to pandemic flu situations, should that kind of thing happen, and what kind of capacities are going to be needed for that kind of mission in the future.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for participating in this with us and sharing your stories, and we certainly wish you continued success and safety in your area.
Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
This presentation is proudly sponsored by Plimovent. Plimovent is a driving force in advancing firefighter health and safety. Plimovent's diesel exhaust removal systems feature 100% source capture to eliminate all diesel exhaust from the firehouse, as stated in NFPA 1500. Plimovent diesel exhaust removal systems meet the requirements stated in the Fire Act Grant Program guidance for modifications to facilities. Visit plimovent.com or click on the link on this page to learn more about their exhaust removal systems.